Open your Bibles this morning, if you would, to the book of Psalm, chapter 34. The book of Psalms, chapter 34, the 34th Psalm. We are in somewhat of a series of messages with regard to brokenness, and this morning will be no different. We'll look at that. I wonder how many of you believe that you are observant. How many of you think that you're really observant? Think you're really observant? Is there anything different up here this morning? Tell me, my tie? My tie is different, okay. I'm not wearing my glasses. What's that? The pulpit is different, yes. That's right. You were just kidding about the tie, right? The pulpit is different. This is the pulpit from the tent meeting. That's the one that this one is. The other one, I needed a little more room. This one is actually wider, and all I need now is to get my 17-inch monitor laptop with 2 terabyte of memory for my sermon, Stephen, and then I'm ready to go. I told Joseph you'd be shaking your head like, oh no, misery. I'm just wondering, how many of you didn't recognize we had a different pulpit? Some of you didn't. Some of you didn't. You get C's for today. That's what you get now. Open your Bibles there to Psalm 34. I want you to stand with me for the reading of the Word of God, Psalm 34. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. If you like me, like the Psalms, this has to be among the favorite of the Psalms that we would read. We find much encouragement from this Psalm. My selection here this morning is just a few verses, and then I'll go a couple other places as well. I'll read the text, and then I'll give you the title. The Bible says here in verse number 15 of Psalm 34, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry." We ought to say, thank you, Lord, right there. "The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles." Verse 18, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the difficulties of the righteous, the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." My text here this morning is, there in verse number 18, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart." Here's my statement this morning by way of a title: God favors the broken. God favors the broken. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege of being in your house this morning for everyone that's here. How often I think, and this morning is no different, that this is a unique gathering. We've never met quite like this before. We'll never meet quite like this again. While we may have the same people here in another service, it will still be different. Lord, because of the uniqueness of this moment, I know that you have a specific plan in mind through the Word and through the message to use your Holy Spirit as you work through the congregation and through my heart to use me as a funnel of your Word. And Holy Spirit of God, may you have free course as the Word is preached. And in the uniqueness of this moment, meet specific needs. Lord, in the uniqueness of this gathering, may, Lord, you bring conviction where conviction needs to come. Lord, may you bring comfort where comfort needs to come. May you bring salvation to the one who needs to trust you as Savior and hasn't done that. Lord, for the wayward, for the backslidden, Lord, that they'll draw closer to you. Lord, for the weary of heart this morning in the uniqueness of this hour, I pray that you would minister grace and, Lord, that you would heal the brokenhearted and that you would apply, as the Word of God says, the balm of Gilead, that healing anointment to our hearts this morning as we live our lives. I pray, Lord, you'd bless, give your enablement beyond my ability. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. The Lord God favors broken things. As a matter of fact, most of us would not have a job if things didn't get broken. Even an IT man would not have a job if a computer, if Microsoft made their computers, somebody said if Microsoft would have made cars, automobiles, the car would get stalled and just sit there for a while and freeze and you'd have to reboot it. But if we, your job often has, there wouldn't be a need for a doctor if our bodies didn't get broken, right? There wouldn't be a need for a mechanic if your car didn't break down. There, many of our jobs are specifically related to things that get broken, and there needs to be something that is fixed. God favors broken things. That verse that I just read to you, often in times of bereavement and times of grief, as a pastor, as a fellow believer, when I've got word that a loved one has slipped from this place of sorrow into that eternal home of bliss, I've used that verse because it brings great comfort to my heart, and it is a true statement that God is near them that are of a broken heart, and I've passed that verse on along in hopes that it would bring equal encouragement to the hearts, because frankly, God favors the broken. The song that Kathy just sang was by Ron Hamilton. Ron Hamilton is otherwise known as Patch the Pirate. He started a lot of music, writes a lot of music, but he started a program for kids, Patch the Pirate Kids. And they got various names for the various graded levels. And he wears an eye patch. And he doesn't just wear the eye patch to promote or advertise the patch program, but he wears an eye patch because he had his eye removed. The story is that Ron Hamilton, when he went just for a routine visit to his optometrist, and the optometrist said, "I see something there in that eye. I'm going to send you to a specialist." And then they, from there, decided to do surgery. And he said, "If when we get into this, if it is not something that is cancerous, then when you wake up, you'll have a bandage on your eye, but you'll still have the eye. But if it is cancerous, when you wake up, you'll have that eye removed because it was dangerous for you with that tumor in your eye to keep that eye." As he and his wife were praying, they were praying for God's will to be done. Obviously, they were praying for God to heal him, and they were asking the Lord for a miracle, but they were willing to accept whatever God would bring down their path and down their way. And when he woke up, the eye was removed. It was just a matter of a little bit of time, maybe a few hours, a couple of days, that he penned the words to the song that you just heard this morning. God never moves without purpose or plan. And from that, he started the ministry, Patch the Pirate. May I say to you this morning that in a manner of speaking, you might say that Ron Hamilton was broken because when that eye was removed, he was a broken in sense of not being able to have both eyes to see. But because God favors brokenness, out of that brokenness, God did something with his life. There's another story that I could relate to you, and it's a familiar story. Many of the hymns in our hymn book are written by a little short lady who did not see. Her name was Fanny Crosby. She was contemporaries with, that's because I didn't have it on, Stephen. I've got to start all over now. Let me start all over. Singers do that. Why can't I? Let's see, where was I? Let me start all over. Let's go backwards now. No, that's where I stopped. I wanted to start over. So your Bibles are still open to Psalm 34, right? We're good. Yeah, we're good. You okay now? Okay, there you go. Fanny Crosby. Okay, I will, because it's lunch. Oh, it's going to be lunch soon, so yeah, I'm with you. I'm feeling you. Fanny Crosby. was very young, and the doctor put some drops in her eyes, and it caused her to go blind. She wrote a number of songs in our hymn book. One of them was, "Face to Face with Christ My Savior." When my life work is ended and I cross my Savior first of all. Fanny Crosby wrote, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." Out of her brokenness, out of her blindness. As a matter of fact, Fanny Crosby later in life said, they asked her, "What would you say to that doctor that put those drops in your eyes when you were an infant and you literally have never consciously seen the light of day nor experienced the luster of a beautiful sunset or noticed the specifics of a tree line or anything like that? What would you say to that doctor, to that physician that put those drops in your eyes?" And her response was this. She said, "I would thank him." She said, "I would thank him because through that, in essence, God made her who she was." Fanny Crosby, the one who wrote all those marvelous hymns, and we still sing them today. When we talk about broken things, we think of it as being the state of brokenness, something that's been altered or something that's been damaged or something that has been functionally impaired in some way and it's not meeting the usefulness that it was originally designed and it needs some repair. When we read our text this morning and it says that the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, I really think this morning that I speak to folks who are real in this congregation. I believe there's every one of us this morning that could, if we were to go around the room and give testimony, every one of us would have to say that in some way, in some segment of our life or some experience, maybe in a relationship in our life, maybe in some loss in our life, in some way or the other, we understand what it means to have a broken heart. And when I see this verse, I'm reminded as well that God says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart." It, by the way, it's not a matter of whether or not you're ever going to have a broken heart, it's just a matter of when. I'm saying this morning that God favors the broken or brokenness. That sounds odd, doesn't it? Sounds a little bit odd that God would favor that which is broken. And I'll give you an example sort of that in a moment. But God favors the heartbroken, number one. I'm talking this morning about this brokenness, and the truth is there is the reality of heartbreak. The truth is that everybody, as I've said, you're going to have a broken heart. We've been told by some folks that are on television and on media sources and some literature that if you're right with God and you have the right amount of faith, you'll never have your heart broken and you'll never lack for money and you'll never lack for health. And yet I just read in your hearing in Psalm 69, the psalmist said, "I am poor," and the psalmist said, "I'm sorrowful." And when I read that, I'm reminded that there is the reality of the broken heart. As long as we're in this world, we're going to be disappointed. As long as we're in this world, in this robe of flesh, we're going to face difficulty and we're going to face heartbreak and we're going to face times where we are sorrowful. Heartbreak is a fact. Jesus said it this way, "In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good courage, I have overcome the world." Job said it this way in the oldest book in the Bible, the book of Job. Job said, "Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." And then there are some that are, if you altered that verse a little bit, there are some who are born of woman and they cause a lot of trouble. His name's Dennis back there. Dennis White. I love you, brother. That's because you hit me, pulled on my coat back there earlier. That got you on that. The reality is that we're going to have a broken heart from time to time. Some of you this morning in this service, you've come and your heart is broken. You may have got word maybe about a child or a grandchild or something you're going through. Maybe some of you this week got a report from the doctor that's broke your own heart because you realize that physically you're going to be less active and it's going to affect your life and how you live. And maybe you're brokenhearted from that. Maybe it's a relationship where your heart is broken. Maybe it's because a child has rebelled, or maybe it's because a family member has gone into sin, but your heart is broken. I'm saying this morning that the righteous are not exempt from trouble. I'm saying this morning that you and I, even though we read our Bibles and we go to church and we do what God would have us to do, I want you to understand that we are not exempt from brokenheartedness. We're not exempt from having trouble. But he said, this is what he said, here is, God favors the heartbroken. I don't know about you, but I think it's a good idea, a good thing to know that if I'm going to be brokenhearted, and the reality is I'm going to be brokenhearted, there in essence is a special promise that God has made that I'm going to draw up even closer to you when your heart is broken. And when you're going through those difficult times, and when you feel overwhelmed by the circumstances, and when the tears won't stop to flow, and when you go through the difficulties of life, I am going to be closer to you then than I was before those troubles came. Is that not His promise? The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Understand, this clock will not stand hard preaching, I can tell you that. I've got to watch. Alan said he went somewhere last week and he heard 2 hours of preaching. And it seemed like 5 minutes. I preach 5 minutes and you think it's been 2 hours. So that's the difference. The righteous will have trouble. The truth is, the Bible says here, but they'll be delivered. He said, the Lord knoweth how many are, verse 19, many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. How do we justify that when we say, well, we're still in trouble? Here's how we do it. He does not always save us from the affliction, but He will save us in the affliction. When Daniel was cast into not the lion's den, you say, wait a minute, preacher, that's in the Bible. Well, yes and no and not exactly. He wasn't cast into the lion's den. He was cast into a den of lions. There's a big difference. Most of us wouldn't have trouble. Oh, lion's den, so the lions aren't there, right? What that tells you when it says the den of lions, the lions were at home. And those lions were hungry. And I'm not lying. I mean, they were hungry. They were ready to eat. And Daniel, by the way, he said, the king said, I know God can deliver you. And the king was anxious throughout the night to see what would happen. But God didn't deliver him so he wouldn't have to go into the den of lions. God put him in the den of lions, and in that den, God delivered him. When I told you the story about Fanny Crosby was broken and she was troubled and she was affliction, and God didn't give her sight back, and God didn't allow Ron Hamilton not to lose that eye or miraculously allow that cancer to go through. But I tell you what happened, God delivered them through that affliction. God was able to take them through the miry clay and through the difficulty and through the sorrow and through the hurt. And here's what I'm telling you this morning, that God favors the heart that is broken. It may be you're going through a difficult time. It may be you have no answers. It may be that you've wept and you've cried and you've looked to God for strength and you don't know which way to turn and you've asked for deliverance. And God is telling you in His Word this morning, I'm closer to you in this trouble than you might have ever imagined. I'm by your side more so than if you weren't going through a hard time. God is close to them that are of a broken heart. I'm not convinced that we're always the best judges of knowing just how close He is in the moment. Huh? Am I right? Because when it first happens and it's fresh, we don't always see it. We get a little mileage behind us and we start to look back and we say, I know I do. I think, how in the world did I get through that? You ever do that? Sometimes, here's what else we do. We hear of somebody else's story and we hear about what they're going through. And they say, man, I don't know how in the world they can get through that. That's tough. I just don't think I can do it. I mean, I'm praying for them and I'm rooting for them. And man, I admire them and their faith and trust in God. But then you're kind of saying, Lord, thank you that it's not me because I couldn't handle that. But wait a minute. God didn't say He'd be near you when you're thinking about brokenness. God didn't say He would be near you in that particular brokenness if it's not your own. He said when you're broken, He'd be with you. And when the children of Israel were in the land of coming in through the wilderness, God gave them manna every morning. And when they decided, well, you know, Lord, this man is one thing, but we'd like to store it up just for the sense of, you know, a good investment. We'd like to store it up a little bit just so we feel confident. I mean, you're a good God and everything. But let us just put a little bit of it back so that we don't have to count on you giving it because, you know, you might forget. Now, that's in the original Hebrew. I don't know if you knew it. But when they tried to store it up, what did it do? It went bad. You know what we do? We fret and we get anxious about, Lord, if I go through that brokenness, I don't know how I can stand it. God said, I'll be with you and I'll be nearer to you then. Don't worry about it now. Jesus said, sufficient today is the evil thereof. Don't borrow from tomorrow's. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The brokenness that we experience, God may not take us, deliver us from it, but He'll always deliver us in it. He'll be your strength. He'll be your guide. And what great examples this morning to think of Ron Hamilton. Were you blessed by that song? Every time I hear that song, I'm blessed by that song. That's just one of the songs he wrote. I love songs that are based in Scripture and based from the experience of faith. And Fanny Crosby's songs, when she writes about seeing the Savior, and you put the backdrop of that she didn't see anything in her life, and she's longing to see Jesus. Imagine that. The first thing she saw when she went to heaven was she was in the presence of the Lord. That's what the Bible says. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Imagine that. The one that she sang about and longed to see, her Savior, first of all. The reality of heartbreak, the reality of God's closeness. The Scripture says here, the Lord, in Genesis 21:17, you remember Hagar. Hagar was out with her son in the desert, and she gave up hope, and the Lord heard her cry in the desert. According to Isaiah 61 and verse number 1, and this is repeated in the New Testament because it points to Jesus coming, the Bible says, the Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel. And he said, the Lord hath anointed me that I would bind up the brokenhearted. Jesus began that ministry and he continues that ministry. And if your heart is broken this morning, his ministry is still to bind up the brokenness of your heart. There is hope. Someone described the heartbreak in this way. The brokenheartedness that's referred to here is when people are broken by circumstances, when they are broken by the circumstances of life, when they're broken to the point that they're so overwhelmed and they look to God for healing. The psalmist said in Psalm 38, verse 8, he said this, I'm feeble and sore broken. Just a couple of pages over. He said, I'm feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to the place that you're so feeble with brokenness? And he says, I've roared. The sound has come forth. Brokenness. I want to remind you to be broken means to the fight is gone. You ever say this? I'm done. I'm done. Paul, we say this at work. Fred says this all the time. We've done all we can do. You ever hear us say it? We've done all we can do. We've done everything we can do. And that's because it's lunchtime. We want to get lunch. No. We've done all we can do. We don't have any more parts. We don't have any other way. We don't have a budget. Whatever it is, we've done all we can do. We've made it safe. This is a desperation statement of saying, I'm done. I've given all I can give. I'm broken. Broken by circumstance. And when we look at that in that regard, broken by the circumstance around, I'm empty. The Lord is reminding us of that brokenness. The fight is gone. All hopes and expectations are dashed. That's pretty dismal, isn't it? The afflicted one is resigned to devastation. I'm done. I have no more fight. And when you're that empty, and when you're that depleted, and when you're that broken, and when you're that spent, I didn't say it. I'm not making it up. I'm giving you the word. And God said, when you are spent, and when you are done, and when the fight is gone, and when hopes have been dashed, I'm nearer to you then than ever before. God favors the heartbroken. That's closeness. When your heart is broken, God says, I'm close to you. As a child, did you need comfort when your dreams were shattered or your toys were crushed? Huh? Or your little 6-year-old girlfriend broke your heart or boyfriend and your heart was shattered and you needed mom or dad. And they draw you up close. Have there ever been times in your adult life, and men don't admit to this because that would not seem appropriate to be in your manhood. Did you ever have your dad or your mom, when your heart was broken over something, they put you on their lap and just hug you? And it wasn't necessarily the words that they said. It was just that presence and that support. There are times where my dad would say, you'll be all right. That was enough. I heard a few weeks ago, they were saying some of the treatment for things when people are going through anxiety and difficulty, maybe you're hurt physically. You do some self-talk and some mindfulness and say, okay, it's not that bad. And you talk yourself through it like you're going to be okay. And I thought, and they used all kinds of terminology, 50-cent words. And I thought, my dad had that a long time ago. Lay still, you'll be okay. You'll be all right, just lay still. He had it going on. And God brings us comfort when we're completely spent. And sometimes we're broken by the losses of life. I think of Judy back here. Our dear brother Joe, boy, he was a champion of trusting the Lord. And when they first came into our church and we'd prayed for him with that brain cancer, and Joe stood there not many Sundays before the Lord took him, and he stood right there and he said, Pastor, they told me at first that I had 6 months, and it's been 3 years. And if I don't have it right, Judy will be to me like she was him. No, he doesn't have it right, Pastor, it's this. Don't correct my preaching, okay? We'll do that later. And he told me, and he always had a positive attitude, and he praised the Lord. And Judy has championed through this loss. And she's very pragmatic and very practical. But there's been some times, the loneliness of that house. And that Sunday morning, you opened the doors to the wardrobe, and his clothes wasn't there. She couldn't come to church that day. She's broken. Forgive me if I'm out of school here. But God was so near to her. And God was so near to Brother Joe as he went through that experience. And I'm simply saying to you, we have the promise of the Word of God when you're spent and empty. And even if the loss and the grief does that, God is near you. And Peggy, I know there are times you still think about Mama. What Mama went through, the difficulty that she had through that experience. And I could, many of you I could talk about. Brother Dave prayed about some of the ones in our church had passed on to heaven, a couple people he mentioned this morning. we understand a little bit about that brokenness and when we're spent and empty and when answers aren't enough and we don't have all the answers. And while God didn't deliver them from that affliction in the midst of it, we could see God was delivering them in that affliction and in that brokenness. God was giving strength. And while the loss will never be taken away in this life, Judy, you got to look forward to the fact that through the loss, God will help you through it. And through the loss, we have the hope of seeing those who have gone on before. And in the meantime, God says, I'm close to you right now. I'm right here. I've never left you. Let me say secondly that God not only favors the heartbroken, but God favors the sin broken. Come if you would to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. I've got three. I may only get to two of them. Oh, and I might say that this won't be a continuation, a second helpings, Jerry, as you say sometimes, for Sunday night, because Joseph is preaching tonight. My son, Joseph, is preaching tonight. And the reason for that is because it's Super Bowl and I'm staying home. That's not true. That is not true. But he is preaching. I'm not staying home. I'll be here. And but just so you know, some of you not here tonight, I know where you will be if you're not here. Just so you know. Joseph will be preaching tonight. Notice, he says, this is the confession of David. David had committed the grave sin with Bathsheba, had Uriah killed. Nathan the prophet, and often it takes a man of God preaching the word of God to be able to point out that which the Holy Spirit of God wants to point out, and that's what happened to David. And David heard Nathan say, thou art the man. This is the confession of David, and this, I'm picking it up somewhat in the middle, actually toward the end of it. Notice in verse 17, David said this, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. Now, on the surface, we say, yeah, amen, that's true. We've got to come in a humble way. But let me give you something to think about in this. Every sacrifice that a Jew brought, every sacrifice, it had to be perfect. If we go back to the book of Exodus chapter number 12, and you remember the Passover, and God said every household will get a lamb, the firstborn, and that lamb will be without blemish. In other words, that lamb will be spotless. That lamb will be perfect. God said, I don't want you to offer something that's maimed. This lamb will be first, and it will be without blemish. It will be perfect. And a Jew's responsibility in bringing an offering to, as it developed through the priest in the tabernacle or in the, tabernacle or then in the temple, those sacrifices, the requirements that God had was that it had to be pure, it had to be without blemish. But I want to suggest something to you. While there was the perfect requirements of the sacrifice, howbeit perfect, was not sufficient on its own. That's what David's talking about. He's talking about bringing all the sacrifices, the appropriate things in to bring before the Lord. But here is an imperfect requirement of a sacrifice. It's to be broken. Look at it. He said, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Someone said it this way. The only damaged offering an Israelite would be allowed to bring, every animal had to be perfect. But the heart of the sinner had to be broken and contrite. Let me tell you this morning, we have a perfect sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ. He went to the cross of Calvary and He died there. He is the perfect sacrifice. But His sacrifice does not apply to your life as a sinner until you are broken before Him. And you realize that you're a sinner, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we bring that imperfect heart to Him. And we bring that imperfect life to Him. And we bring our sin to Him and our old nature to Him and all of our good works and all of our religious activity. And we say, Lord, it is not enough. And I'm humble before You and I accept Your perfect sacrifice. But it's not enough just to come flippantly and arrogantly. See, there's no arrogance here. There's no, well, yeah, Lord, I'm going to help You out with this. Salvation is by grace and grace alone. If you're going to be saved this morning, you're not going to be saved because you go up into the waters of baptism. Some folks erroneously say, if I say, have you been saved? Well, I was baptized. So what? What'd you do before then? Say, preacher, you offended me. Be thou offended. Amen and amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There is no salvation, no other name given among heaven whereby men must be saved, but through and by the Lord Jesus. Amen. And when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and you trust Him, then you become a candidate for baptism. Baptism doesn't put you in a position to be saved. Baptism is a result of your salvation. Baptism doesn't wash away your sin. Amen. Baptism shows that your sin has been washed away. Amen. Baptism doesn't crucify the old man. Baptism says the old man's been crucified. When we say you're buried with Him in His death and raised with Him in newness of life, it is a picture of what has happened spiritually. The water has nothing to do with the spiritual reality that took place. What takes place is what happens in your heart when you take Jesus as Savior. Then you say, well, what's the need to be baptized? Because Jesus said to. Makes sense, doesn't it? He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples. What's that? That's salvation.
That's right.
Then He said what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So when we do baptism, because of your profession of faith and belief in the Lord Jesus in Christ, I now baptize thee, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Buried with Him in His death. Raised with Him in newness of life. So you didn't always have baptism service this morning.
Yes, sir.
And that's the picture of what happened. That you've been saved, born again by the Spirit of God. But I want to tell you, sometimes you can be proud of your baptism without a contrite heart. There's folks who said, well, I've been baptized, but they've never had a change of heart. They've never been broken before that perfect sacrifice. They've never offered to God a contrite and humble spirit before Him and said, yes, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I trust You as Savior. Be careful that we don't depend upon a religious ceremony for salvation. This morning you say, well, I've been baptized, but I didn't understand that before. Then let me tell you, you need to trust Christ as Savior and then you can get baptized the right way. Amen. By the way, it is by immersion. It's baptism. Baptizo is the Greek word, and baptism means to immerse. It's not diptism, portism, sprinkletism. That's not what it is. It's baptism. It means to immerse. Say, preacher, well, I was sprinkled as a baby. Well, good for you. That's a dedication, maybe, but it's not biblical baptism. Hello. I had a fellow tell me one time, he said, I've been baptized every way possible. Doesn't matter to me if you have or not. The most important thing, have you been saved and then follow the Lord in believers' baptism? By the way, this is not a message on baptism, but it'd make a good one, wouldn't it? I got a good start. Let me start over again. No. I want you to understand this morning that God favors the sin broken. When we come to Him and we're broken by sin, God favors that. Aren't you glad that He doesn't cast you away? I think maybe our sense is that we have this fear that we're going to be rejected by God like we were everybody else. We have this game that we play to try to be accepted by everybody, so we act a certain way. And God says, come as you are. And the great hymn that says, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. The truth of that is, it's not the matter of what you bring, it's a matter of you coming broken before God and you're accepting the Lamb of glory as your only Savior. It's not about pride. We want to offer to God the things on the surface, but God says, I want your heart. God favors the broken. He favors the heartbroken. God favors the sin broken. Let me just complete it with this. God favors the life broken. Come to Psalm 69 real quick. Psalm 69. Psalm 69, verse number 20. It says this, reproach hath broken my heart. I am full of heaviness. Now, that phrase right there has nothing to do with your failure of your New Year's resolution here as we begin February. It has to do with the heart. I'm full of heaviness, and I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for some comforters, but I found none. Verse 21, they gave me also the gall for meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. And while this is a messianic looking forward psalm, yet David is experiencing the reproach that is broken in his heart. He says, reproach hath broken me. David has some enemies. May I tell you this morning that the way the world treats God's people often leaves us with that sense of reproach. I say it this way, reproach has broken us. Those who have banded against us, and as a matter of fact, and I'm not trying to give you a complex, but I'm saying, do you know that we're in this world, the world didn't like Jesus and the world doesn't like Christians? Don't be surprised if you're not accepted in this world. As a matter of fact, if you're not fully accepted in this world and they're not real comfortable around you, wear it as a badge of honor and say, maybe I'm looking a little bit like Christ, that's why they're not comfortable. I mean, there are some places I go, I'm not comfortable. I don't approve of the language that I hear in places where I go. I don't approve of it. I don't like it. That's why I got to be in the Word so I can be clean, because this world dirties me up. Reproach, David said, the psalmist said, has broken me. He says, there's nobody to give me comfort. You ever been there? When life itself dumps itself upon you and reproaches, dumped itself upon you, and there's no comforters. But wait, there is reason to rejoice. Look in verse number 16, Psalm 69. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Now, nobody else may care. No one else may not want to hear it. There may not be a soul that you're around that really wants to hear you whine again. Whatever. But God's ears are always open. And whatever your heartache, He's interested. And by the way, this is good for those of us that are aging. God doesn't matter if you repeat yourself a time or two. He's okay about that. He's okay. You can tell Him the same thing over and over again. And He won't say, you've already told me that. You know what? As a matter of fact, He said, He quotes it, Peter quotes it from the Psalms, but he says in 1 Peter chapter 5, he said, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. And the illustration I like to give in that, have you ever been fishing? And when I would fish, not many times, but when I'd fish on the riverbanks in West Virginia, we'd cast the line out. And directly, that's West Virginia talk, directly, it would have a tendency to float back toward us, kind of downstream and float back toward us, back to the shore. You know what we had to do? Reel it back in, cast it out. My dad did that a couple times. He got it hung up in an old sycamore tree out in the water, the limbs hanging out. He jerked that thing out of there and we went home. We didn't fish another time. That was it. But casting all your care, keep on. You know what you got to do? When those troubles come back on you, you cast them back out. That's right. Well, I did it once and the current of life brought it back my way. And I've got it on me again. And God says, keep on casting. Cast it up on me. Our trouble is we put it on Him once and it comes back. And we say, okay, I guess I'll deal with it. And God says, no, cast all your cares upon me. Just keep on casting them upon me. You know what? That tells me He doesn't mind for us to repeat ourselves. Lord, I did that once. I know I did, but here I am again. And I got a feeling that if we got an audible voice, and we don't, but we got His Word that says keep on casting, I think He would say, it's okay, you tell me again. just like you do those grandchildren. Sometimes they're excited about what happened. Sometimes they want to tell you about their boo-boo. And it doesn't matter how many times you ask about the boo-boo. Most time little kids won't say, "I've already told you that once." They'll say, "They're glad to tell you." Am I right? They're glad to tell you again. And I'm glad that God is glad to hear me again when my heart's broke. I'm glad that God is willing to hear me when I'm overwhelmed. You see, we have an unseen resource. While we may not get a lot of support and a lot of help from this old world, and we may be reproached from this world, I want you to understand, we've got an unseen resource, and we can go to Him night or day, doesn't matter when it is, and we can talk to Him audibly, or we can talk to Him silently, but we can pray without ceasing, wherever we are. And He always has an open ear to hear. Notice how the psalmist ended this. "Oh, blessed sound to the ears of God's people," ended. I said the psalmist, not me, ended. Notice verse 29. He said this, "But I am poor and sorrowful." I read this earlier. "Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high." If you've come in this morning and you've been broken and you understand and you connect, we've connected this morning with the message about a broken heart and broken because of sin and broken because of life's issues and reproach of life, and we've connected, understand this, here is our hope, is that we are set on high by the salvation that we have. We are set to a higher plane than when we came in. And the psalmist said, verse 30, "I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify Him with thanksgiving." You know what he ends up doing? In his brokenness, he ends up praising God. Amen. And although the world is still going to be a reproach, and although the world is still going to wield its ugly head, and although we're still going to be broken, in that brokenness, God is going to give us victory because we have an unseen source. And we just praise Him and glorify Him. Wait a minute. Remember that fellow Ron Hamilton? You know, Patch? And he had his eye removed because of cancer, and Kathy sang his song today. Could I make an application there and say he ended up praising God? Can I say that? May I say that? I know I can, but may I? I know the difference. And what about Fanny Crosby? And she was blind, in essence, from birth, all practical purposes. And her songs, they continue to praise the Lord. And that's what the psalmist did. God delivered them not from the brokenness, but in the brokenness. And God wants to do that for you this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.